talked about. You gotta put it in
perspective. While most young boys dream of being firemen, policemen, or ballplayers, all this little fella ever wanted was to be heard on the radio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Are you running out of options in your fight against foo? At Grohl, Hawkins, Mendel, Shiflett, Smear & Associates, we've been fighting foo for over 25 years.
We'll fight foo day and night to make sure you receive the compensation that you deserve.
Don't try and fight foo by yourself. Call our toll-free number today.
Just listen to this satisfied customer.
I view the world through the eyes of a child. You know, I have the heart of a warrior and the spirit of a gypsy.
Get f***ing embraced it!
And now, you take your hateful mouth to HR right now.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 31st of January. What's up?
Kevin got here so early today, I'm discombobulated.
Same.
You've been here like 3 minutes.
Same.
Yeah.
Is there trouble at home?
No.
Really?
It just happened on accident.
You didn't get thrown out of the house and sleep in your car in the parking lot or anything?
No.
I don't know,
Alex. No, but I do need to refigure things because
Yeah.
I mean, that was 3 minutes of my life wasted.
You were so bored over
right?
there.
So bored.
Kevin pulls out his mat. He starts to think, does he have time to take a nap before we go on?
3 minutes, for God's sakes.
Yeah. What a waste. Don't screw with what's working, man.
I hear
what
you.
I'm saying. Anyway, so how's everybody?
Doing great.
Doing great.
Yeah. Right. 31st.
Right.
Fresh month tomorrow. New yeah. start. New year, new you. Who's with me?
New year, new you. I like it.
Tomorrow's not a new year, but okay.
New month.
There you go.
New okay. month of the new year,
gotcha.
Kevin.
Gotcha.
New year, all new right. you.
I like it. I new still me. Like it. I may use that all year. I like it so much.
It's the worst.
Have any of you guys ever been terminally ill? I have not. How about
terminally?
You?
Yeah. I had cancer, but I wasn't terminal.
Did you get the hey, you got 6 months to live? Did you get that?
No, I did not.
That's too bad.
Are you bummed?
just said that's too bad. You're such a dick.
If they come to you and say, well, we've done everything we can. You have 6 months to live.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about what you would do?
Sure.
How you would spend that time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not really, because I don't expect that to happen.
No one expects it to happen, but it happens to lots of people.
Yeah.
I think it's good to have that list in your back pocket ready to go in the event that you get that bad news, you know? I mean, like, are there places, Kevin, for instance, you know, we're giving away this trip to Australia to see Green Day. You
right.
and I have never been to Australia. Like, Australia, if you had 6 months to live, would you absolutely go to Australia? Like, that's something you want to
yeah.
see in your life?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I think those are the kinds of things you go, well, I only have a limited amount of time. I got to do the stuff I've always wanted to do.
Go right? scuba diving, Great Barrier Reef, yeah.
Yeah,
all
fun
in.
Stuff like that. Well, there's a story in the news that made me think about it because – what? What are you laughing at, Allie?
Allie's answer.
What was your answer? What were you going to do?
Which she mouthed and will not ever say?
Well, now I have to know.
You really
– What's Allie doing with her final 6 months?
Butt stuff.
I mean – I hadn't thought of that. So Australia, yes, butt stuff. Okay.
Butt
Those
stuff,
are our
right.
two.
I like it. Well, the reason I'm thinking about this, you know, we laugh, but this is a very, very sad story about a girl in Ohio, I want to say. Elisa Elkins is her name, and she has been fighting leukemia for much of her life. It's very sad. She seems like the sweetest girl in the world, and I'm trying not to get caught up on how sad it is that she got that bad news. But her leukemia returned, and she was told she had no more than 6 months to live. And as is the want for you know, your family, they go, what can we do? What do you want to do? And she had a list of things that she wanted to do. And some of them are not surprising. She wants to go to Disney World, for instance, and that's mm-hmm. where the family's headed this week. They're heading to Disney World.
Excellent.
So, and it looks like she's, from a video I saw from last week, it looks like she's still in, you know, pretty good health enough to get around and enjoy herself and have fun at that. She wanted to pet a pig.
Aww.
And she was able to do that.
Okay.
Somebody was able to put her together with a little pig, and she was able to do that. But the one that made the news that is surprising to a lot of people is she, and Kevin, you'll appreciate this, has always wanted to tase somebody.
Really?
You wouldn't expect that from a 16-year-old girl. She has always wanted to tease somebody.
Does she get to choose who it is?
Well, somehow she got in touch with, or they got in touch with her after they heard about it, the Morgan County Police Department in Ohio.
Gosh.
And they gave her a uniform, and they gave her taser instructions. And
they said, there's a crackhead over there. Go do it.
Why don't you come out with us on patrol tonight, and we'll find some people you can tase. God bless Sergeant Al Schaefer from the police department, who volunteered to be tased.
Wow.
Wow, that's crazy good.
Isn't that something else?
Yes.
That's amazing.
About 50 people were on hand to witness it, and they all started chanting, taser, taser, taser.
Wow.
And she was able to tase him, and he had people standing by to kind of help him so he wouldn't fall and, you know, take him down to the mat or whatever. And he said, paraphrasing, he said, you know, it was a bad 5 seconds, but it was worth it to make her so happy and to give her the opportunity to fulfill her lifelong dream. Isn't that a sweet story?
Oh, I like everything about it.
It is.
Especially the fact that she wanted to tase somebody.
That's my favorite part. Like, whose bucket list is that in?
Right?
That's weird.
It's painful, but given her situation, it's a no-brainer. If I were her parent in this situation, I would be happy to know that someone was willing to do this for her. The police officer also said it was a good educational opportunity to show that tasers are a very safe, effective way to subdue someone. So anyway, I hope against hope that little Alyssa rebounds and has a lot more time than that, but at least she...
And that officer ends up arresting her for something.
Wouldn't that be the ending,
right? He tases her.
Wouldn't that be something? He tases her.
Right. That's not in your bucket list? My bad.
The story has everything.
Awful.
I love it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
He's a menace to intelligence because the man's an idiot.
You went to a public funeral service. Now, we're going to take calls on this. Also, by the way, private. If you went to a private funeral service, like my man Bean here did.
Yeah, that you weren't invited to. It was an announcement in the newspaper, and you took it upon yourself to go.
Bean went to a celebrity. I think it was Nellie Brown.
Charles Brown.
Rhythm and blues singer, Charles Brown, yes.
And it was just family and Bean. That's odd.
And Bonnie Raitt.
Sure. Right.
So weird.
Who probably knew him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they were close friends.
Recorded together, maybe?
Yeah, they sure did.
Okay. Also on the program today, we have the Bachelor Report.
Wait for that. You know, they were in New Orleans last night for their group date.
I did not see last night.
And I just saw it popping up on my timeline a lot last night. Apparently, they did so much more in New Orleans in the 2 hours they were here that I've done in 6 months.
Are you sick?
But I'm very excited to hear all about it.
Wouldn't it be funny if they were, like, drinking heavy and stuff, and you see Bean in the background just stumbling
scurrying
past?
I think there was voodoo stuff. I can't wait to hear from Ralph how it was. I think they did
voodoo stuff.
I love voodoo stuff.
Comedian Bob Saget.
Stop it.
On the program today.
Love Bob.
We're going to talk to Rich Eisen about the Super Bowl coverage this week.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Valentine's Day gift guide for you. And we think you'll like it because it's from Goop.
Yeah. Right?
Goop.
Very
Gwyneth
affordable.
Knows what people want.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow, yeah. It's it starts at about $100,000 each and then it moves up from there.
Well, it's not quite that
So
bad,
that's all but... good. We also have your tickets for Green Day at the Rose Bowl. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:51.
And?
Hummily, babbily, zibbily, boobily, hummily, babbily, zibbily, bop.
And? Kevin? And that's a brand new song from Imagine Dragons.
Gotcha.
Remember the whole, hey, be sure to backsell the brand new song from Imagine Dragons?
Sure.
Oh, Bean,
that we
you're
just
adorable.
Played.
You're adorable, Bean.
Right. Just released today.
But when did you tell him that? When did you guys have that conversation?
Well, we had the conversation that we should backsell
45
it.
Seconds
I don't know
ago.
That it was on
exactly.
me.
How can Kevin possibly be expected to remember that?
That is.
Here's my point. If you know that perhaps I'm not doing that backsell, go ahead and do it.
I did. That
no,
is believer.
You said, and
I was giving you the opportunity, man, to step up to the plate and be a man.
Appreciate it.
He was inviting you to join the show.
That was
Kevin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pay attention, be involved. Hey, no new album information yet. We will have that for you as soon as we have it for you, and we will pass it along. But so far, that's what we got. A brand new song from Imagine Dragons. This is called Believer, and we'll be playing that again a little bit later on. That's the voice of Ralph Garman joining us in studio now.
It is.
Our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on HG.
What's up, boys and girls?
What's going on?
How are you, Ralph?
Oh,
How was New Orleans on The Bachelor last night?
I thought of you last night, Beam, as I watched The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were in your hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana.
Did they have fun?
Of course they did.
All right. Well,
they were in the bayou. Hey, look at that gator on the bayou.
Were there gators?
There were voodoo priestesses, too. And then they did a second line down the French Quarter.
Uh-huh.
Strange accent.
Yeah.
That's very accurate, by the way. I hear that accent quite a bit, Allie.
Let me hear yours.
Oh, no, I don't
know. Oh, do it! Do it! You know so much!
So we'll be talking about The Bachelor later on in the show. But meanwhile, Jennifer Lopez likes her men young, hot, and hard.
Oh.
Nice. Hey,
right?
Bell for Jennifer Lopez, I would think. Thank you.
And for men that are young, hot, and hard, right?
Right.
A friend of Jennifer Lopez's is talking to the press, RadarOnline.com specifically, and she strongly suggested to Drake, according to this friend, Jennifer Lopez did, her new boyfriend Drake, that he needs to be, and I quote, in tip-top shape to appear on her arm.
Wow.
No, this is not a Jennifer Lopez joke. This is a news story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Word is that her standards are very high and that she found her latest dude a little too flabby for her liking.
Wow.
So Jennifer Lopez took it upon herself to hire a boot camp trainer for Drake to get him in the proper shape. Is there a bigger red flag in the world in a relationship than when this starts to happen?
There is not.
If you're unhappy with my body at the beginning of the relationship.
Wow, that's crazy.
We got no place to go. Because I'm not going to, whatever shape you put me in the next 6 months, I'm not going to stay there. No. Year two, year three, year four. Oh, terrifying.
Thank you to the ladies who don't require a gym test to date us.
All right? Most of them don't, obviously.
Yeah. Right.
Look at us all.
Right.
But Jennifer Lopez is not one of them. Look, I guess she can call the shots.
Sure.
Jenny from the block, she can do whatever she wants, right? Still, if someone said to me, yeah, you need to get in better shape to hang out with me, I'd be like, oh, I'm so going to be alone later on today.
In 2 minutes.
Meanwhile, on the flip side of the coin, someone who loves some curves, loves a little extra cushion for the pushing, is Zendaya.
Okay.
Here's what she did that was very nice. She caught wind of a girl who is online named Honey Dip. She goes by Honey Dip. And she is sort of an internet, wannabe internet starlet. But she is plus-sized, let's say.
Okay.
And so Zendaya caught wind of a bunch of folks on Twitter body-shaming the young woman. So she stepped in and said that she thought Honey Dip was fine as hell, head to toe, and guaranteed doesn't know you exist, my man. Boom! She shut some troll down and then went a little bit further. She enlisted the help of her 7 million followers on Twitter and saying, help me find this girl. I want to contact her. She did. And then promptly offered her a modeling job for Zendaya's new clothing line.
How about that? That is above and beyond, isn't it?
Honey Dip claims she was speechless and says that becoming a plus-size model was her number one goal. And so now she has achieved that at a very young age, and the rest of her life will be a big disappointment.
By the way, it is also my goal to be a plus-size model.
Right.
I wish Zendaya would help me out some.
Good luck with that.
I'm halfway there.
I will, I'll put up whatever it costs to put you through a fashion shoot, Bean. I would hire a photographer.
I'm in.
And I will,
yep.
I will gladly pay the fees in order to have you do a professional modeling photo shoot. As long as it's
runway
understood.
As well or just photo shoot?
Let's go the whole nine okay. yards. Let's make Bean a male model and then, of course, it goes without saying I own the pictures since I'm right. putting up the cash.
Sure.
But yeah, I need that to happen.
I could be the plus size model I've always wanted to be.
Yes, you could.
That's very generous of you, Ralph. Thank you.
Well, let's do it.
I got a sponsor now.
You could be the plus height model that they've all wanted you to be. And sad news, tragic news, depressing news. For me, anyway. I know you guys aren't big Doctor Who fans, but I am, as they say, a Whovian. And it was announced yesterday that Peter Capaldi said he was leaving the series.
Now, is he the guy that plays Doctor Who?
He is. He's the 12th Doctor.
Okay.
And he said, I feel it's time to move on. And so he will leave the series after the annual Christmas episode that happens at the end of this
year. So how many years is that for him? Just like 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, he hasn't done it long. I think the timing is specific because executive producer and lead writer of the show that has sort of rebooted Doctor Who, he will also be leaving at the end of the year. And I think he and Peter are close. And I think he just thinks it's, you know, if Stephen, the guy who runs the show, you know, has run it so well for all this time is leaving. Rather than take a chance on whoever they're going to bring in, he's going to retire as well. So, a new Doctor Who in the offing.
Now, Ralph, I have to ask you this, since you are a lifelong Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
I'm sure you have seen the movement online to insist that the next Doctor Who be a woman.
Yes.
You cool with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Not a problem.
Here's the thing. He's an alien. He's not a human being. Mm-hmm. And part of the mythos of the Doctor is he doesn't die. He regenerates. He becomes a brand new physical being that carries inside him all the memories and feelings of the character. So he can be white, black, male, female, transgender. He could be anything. So I don't have a problem with him being a woman at all. I have seen one request saying Amy Schumer would be a good doctor. I will not allow that to happen. But a British woman? Absolutely. You kidding me? Come on, what?
Really?
Yeah.
How about Wendy Williams? That's my choice.
How you doing? How you doing, Daleks?
How you doing?
How you doing, Daleks? Yeah, I don't see that. Happening.
Everywhere she goes.
Yeah, the crowd of people in the TARDIS. Applauding her. She's got seats in the TARDIS now as an audience in there. How you doing? Very different show.
What about Hayley Atwell?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And I could be the companion. Okay. I could be the companion in the TARDIS who helps her out and travels with her. What do you need, Doctor? Let me help you. What? You need a hot pocket? I'll put it in the microwave for you, Doctor. Be the new companion. I'm the TARDIS.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get away from that guy's boner.
No. Don't blame you, lady. Today's celebrity birthdays. Harry Wayne Casey celebrates his birthday today. You heard me. Oh, maybe he's better known as KC and the Sunshine Band.
Bean loves them so much.
Who doesn't?
Why am I
love
not
them?
Hearing Get Down
who
tonight right now?
Who doesn't love them so much?
Chip. We didn't know it was his
Why
birthday.
Why am I not hearing That's the Way I Like It right now?
Take it easy.
We'll get a little. We'll get
Where's
a little.
Shake Your Booty?
We're going to need that piece
right?
of tape. We'll get some KC on the show a little bit later.
Great
on.
Guy.
66 years old today. John Lydon from the Sex Pistols, 61. Minnie Driver is 47. Portia de Rossi's 44 years old. Kerry Washington is 40 years old today. Bobby Moynihan. I love him on SNL. Very funny guy. 40 years old today. Justin Timberlake's 36. And Mumford & Sons singer Marcus Mumford celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday to me. It's the day of my birth. It was 30 years ago today that I was born. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I always get a little nervous when we have actual professional, competent broadcasters on the show, and that's going to be what's happening in a few minutes when Rich Eisen joins us from the NFL Network.
Because they'll find us out. They'll say, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, it'll be so clear that that we can't handle an interview.
Right.
And it's just going to be embarrassing because I look up to guys like that. And
right.
We're just us. But anyway, that's coming up in minutes. First, though, this is not a problem for me this time of year because every day of the whole year is Valentine's Day at my house. But if you are one of those people who's in a relationship and you're the pressure's on to find something for February 14th as a gift, guy or gal, I got great news for you. Gwyneth Paltrow is back on her website, Goop.
Yes.
With the Valentine's Holiday Gift Guide.
Yes, so good.
She,
by the way, only a couple of weeks away.
It is very close.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, there was a little bit of controversy when the first item came out of this year's guest list because she had a rock that the ladies are supposed to put in their hoo-has. It was a $66 rock that was made of jade. Allie, do you remember? I don't have it in front of me. Do you remember what she said the reason was she wanted you to put a rock up there? Like, what was it supposed to do?
I think you can stop saying rock like it's some jagged piece of granite that you're just shoving up your privates.
A moon rock.
I think it was to have it up there, and then it strengthens your Kegel muscles by keeping it in.
But there was,
thus, afterwards, it would make your orgasms better.
But there was a lot of other things, too. It pretty much solves every issue that you could possibly
have. Yeah, it makes you smarter, and I think it makes your hair grow better.
Right.
And makes you a better driver, which is interesting.
Apparently, it was a guarded secret of Chinese royalty used by both queens and concubines. But a lot of gynecologists came out and said, please don't do that. Please don't put the $66 jade egg in there. So anyway, so that was the first item. And there's so much in the gift guide. We can't cover a lot of it. And there's some stuff that's so high-end that there's not even a price on it, like a stay at the Babington House in Somerset, England. I have no idea what that's going to cost.
Babington House?
The Sounds Babington swanky. House. But that's, you know, that's something special, I guess, if you want to give your lady this year. There are things like the Coco Delmer linen bondage rope. Now, this is a piece of rope that looks like a clothesline. Well, that's only $38, though.
Oh,
that's not bad.
Okay. Right.
Here's the Tina Frey design resin tray with leather handles. Now, this is, you know, for breakfast in bed. This is a little tray that you put, you know, tea and cookies on to carry into the bedroom. It's $335.
Oh, my.
If you want the tray.
Hmm.
You can't use a tray without leather handles, you guys. What are we, savages?
Right.
All right. Here's a couple of other items in Gwyneth's Goop guide for this year. This is Mason pine pollen. Wildcrafted Mason pine pollen may support immunity, metabolism, sexual energy, creativity, and hormone balance.
Mix again, one, everything. What?
Right.
Yes.
Whatever
it
she
may.
Has, whatever she
support.
Says, it may.
Helps everything in your life. Right. Mix 1 gram in water, tea, a smoothie, or enjoy by itself. It's an ounce for $55 for the Mason pine pollen.
An ounce. Wow. Can you imagine giving that to your significant other and going, hey, I don't even know what this is, but it says it's supposed to heal everything. Good luck.
Here's fur oil. All right. This does not involve a rock. But
now,
this
hold.
Yes.
Let's guess. What is fur oil?
For your dog? Make his coat shiny?
Fur
that's
oil.
An excellent guess.
Okay.
It is fur oil for pubic hair.
Yes.
For those who prefer to go au naturel in the bikini area, it says. So it doesn't sound like it's pubic hair at all. This essential oil blend.
Is, because going natural means that you've grown it out.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I thought it was the other way around. This essential oil blend not only treats pubic hair, it also clears pores and soothes hair follicles for fewer ingrowns and healthier skin. Brilliant for those who shave or wax. Fur oil is made with grapeseed and jojoba oils.
Come on.
Both dry touch oils with vitamin A and E to soften and condition. Tea tree oil with antimicrobial properties that help clear blah, 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 goes on. That's $39 for the fur oil.
Hey, honey, you're looking a little rough down there. Here's some fur oil if you'd like to spiff things up a bit.
Here is the pelvic... Here is the pelvic floor exercise tracker. Anyone following this one?
Well, I heard
pelvic floor exercise tracker. LV is a revolutionary device that makes working out your pelvic floor incredibly easy and surprisingly fun. It's a small,
it's a blast,
smoothly shaped pod that you slip in just as you would a tampon.
Oh,
via Bluetooth, the pod links to the LV app, which tracks your progress through 5-minute game-like pelvic floor exercises.
Why does she want to put everything in her vagina?
That's a great question, Kevin.
Come on.
For more bladder control, a better orgasm, a solid core, you've been unsure about how to do it effectively, this makes it pretty simple. That's $199,
well,
by
of course.
I feel like she's shoving electronics up there.
She's shoving everything up there.
Yeah.
She has issues. Just go see a doctor.
One more. Again, Gwyneth Paltrow, you can go to goop.com if you want this one. This one is beyond me. I'm not smart enough to grasp the concept of the energy clearing kit. This kit comes with everything you need to cleanse your home, workspace, or other personal sanctuary of any and all negative energy, all with entirely clean, instantly soothing, incredible smelling ingredients. For everything you need to know, read our article here. The kit includes a bundle of California white sage, a piece of Palo Santo. Anyone?
Nope.
A smudge bowl, a feather fan.
Smudge bowl, sure.
Yeah, very important.
An ounce of monk oil and a shungite stone. That's what you get in the little box. The energy clearing kit, ladies and gentlemen, just $195.
What if you use the muff oil? Was it muff oil?
That wasn't fur, the fur oil. Oil.
I mean, really, they're interchangeable.
Goop.com. You're welcome.
Is Dave able to get a rise out of you when he comes in with his Falcons gear on and starts taunting you about Sunday, Allie?
Get a rise out of me? I see what you did. Rise
that was
up.
Not intentional.
Well, either way, it was bad.
I know how sensitive you are when your team is in the Super Bowl. I'm just wondering if it's unnerving, if it's unsettling for you to have a Falcons fan in the periphery who's kind of coming around and giving you the evil eye. Are you able to put on the blinders and just concentrate on your team?
He's sort of a weak smack talker.
Yeah, he's really bad at it. Yeah. And it's like he walks in, he wants to throw down. It's like, Dave, you're still Dave. So it doesn't work. It's cute.
Well,
though.
We're all, at least two of the members of the show still have teams to root for this Sunday in Super Bowl. L.I. from Houston. We are always delighted to welcome Rich Eisen back to the show from the NFL Network. You can see him broadcasting live from Houston all week long on the Audience Network on DirecTV Channel 239. Rich, how you been, man? Great to talk to you again.
How you guys been? It's been a while.
It has been, and we're grateful to hear from you. I know this is crazy. I mean, not like you're not busy all the time, but this week in particular. I've got the channel on right now, and Dan's show is on, and it looks like Gladiator. You're sitting in a little circle, and you're just surrounded by people watching you do radio. Is that distracting for you at all?
Well, certainly when your mistake is punishable by death, yes.
Oh, wow. That's serious.
Yeah. Do you have to joust at any
point? Hey, that's the way we are in this corporate world. No, Dan, it's a neat setup. We're in the corner of the NFL Experience in the Convention Center downtown Houston. Dan's on one side of an AT&T DirecTV green room, and I'm on the other side. And so once Dan's show is over, mine comes on, and audience/DirecTV, AT&T, and all the radio stations around the country that simulcast us get 6 hours of what I would like to think is high-quality, entertaining programming.
Yeah, that's what we would like to think, too, about our show, but it's just not true.
We'd like to think that, right. So what is the challenge every year, especially, football fans are in, but for the casual fan, the challenge is to create a story. What is the story of Super Bowl 51?
Well, it's all New England related, which is why I have a daily segment on my show called Your Daily Reminder: The Atlanta Falcons Are Also in Super Bowl 51. when the greatest quarterback of all time, which Tom Brady is, and that's not my Michigan homerism talking, we'll never see another quarterback with 7 Super Bowls on his resume as toe meets ball on Sunday. 14% of all Super Bowls will have been started by Brady, and because Belichick had 3 years of assistant coaching in Super Bowls with Bill Parcells and 2 with the Giants, 1 with the Patriots, he'll have been in 10 on the sidelines.
Wow.
19.5% of all Super Bowls will have been coached in some capacity by Bill Belichick. So pretty much any team they play will have a storyline through line through New England. And even the ones for Atlanta where their coach Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator on that Seattle team that had them dead to rights until there was that interception with mere seconds to go in Arizona 2 years ago, or Matt Ryan went to Boston College, did someone go to Boston College?
I went to Boston College.
Okay, because I just don't know if somebody has jumped on the phone line.
No, sorry about that.
And by the way, just to butt in here, Allie wants Matt Ryan to have a great game. She still wants her Patriots to win, but she's rooting for Matt just because of the college.
Plus, he's married to a Mainer. Like, there's a lot of New England things about Matt Ryan that I love.
You know, his wife's maiden name is Sarah Marshall. Do you know that?
Oh.
So when that movie came out, about Sarah Marshall, I Hate Sarah Marshall, it really created some awkward moments.
A few problems for her.
Yeah, I know. So he's got a considerable New England background, and the general manager and other grocery shopper, if you will, for the team, Thomas Dimitroff and Scott Pioli were both from the Patriots organization. As a matter of fact, Pioli was the general manager of those teams of the first Super Bowl championship years for Brady. So anytime even you're talking about Atlanta, you're also talking about New England. And so choose any New England storyline, and that's technically the storyline that people talk about.
So let me ask you this, then. I apologize that I don't have it in front of me. I just saw the headline yesterday that said, it might have even been on Drudge, that said that only 27% of Americans in this survey are rooting for the Patriots. Why do you suppose that is?
Are you getting your sports news from Matt Drudge?
Yes, I am.
That's disturbing. And 27% seems high.
You need to get out more.
I do. I mean, they're the team that...
Hey, Rich, you don't know how true that is. He needs to get out more.
It's okay. I get my politics from Bleacher Report.
But you said, I mean, you're talking with all the stats you threw out about how dominant they have been as a franchise.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like they have won over the hearts and minds of America.
Are you
new?
Well,
I don't know. Look, obviously, I think there might be some Patriot fatigue. Again, think about it. The last 15 Super Bowls, 7 of them have had the Patriots in it. So maybe somebody would like to see somebody else win for a change. There's a lot of Patriot haters out there who are either envious, jealous, or think that they are cheaters. You know, not to, you know, obviously I understand where you are getting your sports news from. There are some Americans who are upset that Mr. Kraft was at Trump's inauguration and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. There may be many extenuating circumstances. I'm married into a New England family, so, you know, in my household, that is not the case.
Gotcha.
Hey, Rich, I wanted to ask one question, and I know you can't comment on this because you work with the NFL.
Sure.
But is there a penalty if Tom Brady walks out at the beginning of the Super Bowl with a completely flat football and just hands it to a ref?
You know what? I would think that he would be cheered for that.
No penalty, right?
If there really was, let me do the math.
Before the game,
74% of the United States that despise the Patriots, I think that number would go down. If
that would be a baller move.
I just think that would be the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah, just like a flat,
completely
pancake football.
Yeah. Here you go,
ref. I'm just excited because, you know, this is finally the end of that storyline.
We think it has to be.
I mean, the fact that they were penalized and in the manner in which they were penalized,
ridiculously so.
And they're still here at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Not only the year in which that game happened, but the year in which Brady was suspended 4 games and the team lost draft picks and money, that it still did not matter when it came to wins and losses at the very end, and that the commissioner would be on the podium, and the only way that it would still continue is if Atlanta wins, and the commissioner will still have not been back to New England, and New England wouldn't be looking him in the face and saying, you know, up yours, you didn't cost us a championship. Blah, blah, blah.
I hope when one of them gets the mic, they say, up yours. I do. That'd be pretty great.
Well, listen. Flat football.
Rich, we know you're on a tight schedule and you have to jump off, but just real quick, what are you most excited about viewers being able to see this week from Houston for you?
Just my shows here. Today, J.B. Smoove is on all 3 hours. Once again,
wonderful.
For the third straight year, I love him so much.
I plopped
the ruckus in the midst of the NFL opening night, media night. So he asked questions on behalf of the Rich Eisen show to both the Patriots and Falcons. I have not seen his work yet. All I know is that he was preparing to ask Bill Belichick that he's a tough cookie, and if so, what type of cookie would he think he is?
Well, Bill takes that stuff well.
I saw him in the lobby last night, and he was planning to ask Bill Belichick if he thought he was a Nilla wafer. So I'm hoping that actually happened yesterday. And Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner on today, Le'Veon Bell, J.J. Watt, Drew Brees are all the football folks, just some of them who were coming by.
Fantastic.
And then on Thursday, for a second consecutive year, because he wants to be part of the NFL paparazzi when he's done with his current day job, on Thursday's final media availability, the actual working press events, I'm plopping Snoop Dogg in the midst of all that.
Now you're talking. Yes.
There you go.
And he will be on Friday's show to review his work. So that's all that's coming up this
week. Well, you're doing good work.
You really are. You do a great job on the NFL Network. The podcast is great, too, and we'll definitely be looking for you on the audience channel. DirecTV 239, Uverse Channel 1114, and you can also watch it on the apps as well. Rich, let's not make it so long before we have you on again. We always enjoy the time.
Exactly. I look forward to it.
Thanks, sir. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.
Bye now.
Kings of Leon on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7, just after the top of the hour. Mr. Bob Saget on the program.
Yeah.
No, Bob Saget.
Oh, Saget.
Comedian.
I heard Dylan. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Right now it's 6:55 and time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
You guys are the best. Really. Don't ever change.
There's no danger of that at this point.
I am in mourning. Boy, if you're a fan of progressive rock music, it's been a rough year for you with Keith Emerson and Greg Lake. And now one of the greats, John Wetton, has passed away. He was the bassist for a band called King Crimson, one of the early progressive rock groups to come out of the UK. Sort of that whole era that was the birth of Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and King Crimson. They were all kind of developed around the same time. But then he went on to greater fame and success as the frontman for a band called Asia, which, if you've been listening to this show for an extended period of time, you know is one of my favorite bands of all time. It was John Wetton with his partner Jeff Downs and Steve Howe and Carl Palmer. That was the original lineup, and they had enormous success in the 80s and thereafter, and he has passed away at the age of 67 after losing his battle with colon cancer. So, sad news.
Very sad. Chip, you got a little Asia for us? That's real good right there.
That's a great tune. We had John and Jeff in years ago when the original lineup got back together again. And they actually came in and they did an acoustic version of that song. It was so cool. So they were nice guys. Sad. Also sad is the news that Ben Affleck is not going to direct the Batman movie. That's the best thing he does. Of all his involvement in the Batman movie, directing it is the good thing that he does.
He's a good director. He's a real good director.
What?
He's an excellent director.
That's Bean's point.
That's Ralph's point.
I was confused too.
Oh, sweet God. Why John Wetton and not either of you?
How dare you?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
So, do you not like him as Batman?
He's fine. I mean, it was hard to tell in that Batman v Superman movie. There's so much bad. Where do you put the blame? Who knows what was going on there?
Yeah.
I feel like he was good at best as Batman. Like, he didn't really...
He was fine. He wasn't the distraction. He was the least worst thing in it for me, because I was so busy being upset with other things. And I'm sure he'll be fine in this, too, but I think his strength really is, as a movie director, it's the best thing that he does in movies.
Yeah.
So he's pulled himself out of that. And, he says, performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they require. It's just, you just put on the cape, okay? That's what you do for that role. So we'll wait and see who picks up the mantle of the bat. But no word yet on who's going to replace Affleck as director. But they got a lot of stuff to do first. They got that Justice League movie to get out and... There you have it. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mumford & Sons singer Marcus Mumford is 30 years old today. Justin Timberlake's 36. SNL's Bobby Moynihan, what a funny guy, 40 years old today. Kerry Washington, also 40. Portia de Rossi celebrates her 44th birthday. Minnie Driver is 47. Johnny Lydon, he is 61 years old today from the Sex Pistols. And a gentleman named Harry Wayne Casey turned 66 years
Harry
old today.
Harry Wayne Casey.
That's right. But if you like to shake your ass, you know him better as KC with his buddies, the Sunshine Band. Make a little love. Get down the light. Get down the light. Yeah. Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down the light. Get down the light. KC is 66 years old today, and if I can give him any advice, who am I to give KC and the Sunshine Band advice? You don't really need to wear the mesh tank tops anymore, KC.
No,
You can retire the mesh tank tops.
Oh dear,
big mesh too. It's like a chain link fence.
We don't need the nipples to come out of the chain link,
right?
You need just a blouse of some sort, a poncho.
A
jacket, a shirt, anything.
A vest.
Something. It's not a good look for a lot of gentlemen in their mid-60s.
New.
It's tough to pull that off when you're young and good-looking.
New.
Agreed.
New. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show.
Got a lot of good stuff coming up on the program today, including 1 hour from right now, The Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros talking about last night's episode of that show. And don't forget, we want to send you to see Green Day. Their final show of their U.S. tour this summer is going to be at the Rose Bowl September 16th, and you qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. Details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up. Hey, look who's on the phone, you guys.
Yeah.
People's Choice Award winner Bob Saget. Bob, once you've won the People's Choice, I mean, what else is there to strive for?
Well, you know, it's not done by electoral votes. It's the people that vote.
Right, it is the people. Right.
It is person by person.
But do you find, as we do, that the people have terrible, terrible taste?
Well, sometimes, you know, but you know, in this case, I had to go along with it.
Sure.
I couldn't say no.
With your award, they're really in tune.
People are really excited, and they're yelling your name out in the audience, which usually at an award show, it's your peers.
Right.
But this is not. These are people that are way lower than you, you know, on the food chain. They just love the show you do. But I only do a few years at Fuller House, but it's the number one show in the world.
It is immensely popular. And you're making another one, right? There's going to be a Fullest House next, right?
Fullest is just me and ashes in an urn.
That sounds great.
I'm sorry I'm not in person. I feel terrible. Bean, I know what it feels like. It's painful not to be under Kevin.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
Hey, Bob, let me just...
I was supposed to be live, but I'm seeing my kid up north, and I'm helping her get furniture. At least I thought it was my daughter, but it turned out to be some random girl. But
you're good that way. You'll help her with some furniture if she needs it. Hey,
yeah,
Bob,
exactly.
did you call on Friday thinking you were supposed to talk to us? Did that happen?
Yeah. I'm really stupid.
Hold on, at 10:30 in the morning? Did you call us on Friday at 10:30 in the morning and say, I'm ready to go on the air?
Well, I was supposed to go on a station in San Francisco, but I didn't know. I thought it was you guys because I was looking at your schedule, and I hit the button. And then Dave answers and goes, dude, you're calling on Tuesday. That's just so sad. You know, I'm 60. It's like, put me by the sunroom.
Hey,
know?
Bob, we have had guests show up here on the wrong day.
Yes, we have.
No, I've never done that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, that's next.
So. Yeah.
No, if you're getting in the car and you're putting on your rain boots, you know, you should see a doctor.
Bob Saget's on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of our all-time favorite, not only comedians, but humans. Bob's a great guy. You get a chance to
see friends, too.
Let me do the plug here, Bob, if you want to sell some tickets. You can see Bob on person.
Wow, that's Daddy Bean laying down the law.
In person, on stage at the Ontario Improv. Bob is going to be out of Chicago and back in Southern California at the Ontario Improv for four big shows. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Go see Bob Saget on stage, improv.com. Tickets are just $25. The show, of course, is 18 and up.
And it's for the whole family.
Oh, 18 and up.
Oh, it's not really for the whole family.
Exactly. So, Bob, let me ask you this serious question, and this is a question that comedians have been asked as long as they've been doing comedy, and that is, I know from your social media that you have a lot of thoughts about what's going on in the world today, particularly as it involves our new president. Has that been something that has been that you will work into the act, or something you're afraid to work into the act because you don't want to turn off those fans who may support Mr. Trump? Or how are you handling that right now when there's so much on your mind?
Well, it's strange. I just played San Jose. I've been doing a lot of stand-up because I'm getting ready to do a new special. And I don't want to do a lot of politics. I'm trying to keep everything like my normal comedy, which you guys have known for years,
just
below my waist. Just keep it safe down there. Nobody gets hurt. It's like mistletoe, you know?
Yeah, Bob's penis, something everyone can agree on. Just ball
that's
comedy.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct. That's all we really think about. But you can't avoid it right now. You know, you go on stage and there's people at the airport that can't get to your show because they're not, you know, they haven't been vetted.
Yeah, you're huge with Iranians. I know that, Bob. That's one thing I know about you.
I have a huge Muslim following. And, but it's weird. I was in San Jose, and one of the jokes that I said was that they have to change the name of the town to San.
See, that's a good joke.
Not a bad joke. And some people laugh, but then there's always a guy in the back that yells out that is a supporter of the regime. And
the regime?
Just, you
know, I don't want to start nothing. I just want to make light of it. But I also don't. I leave it to people that are eloquent, like John Oliver and Bill Maher, and all of our late night people that don't play games that want to actually discuss it. But it's so painful. I mean, I have done one thing that is very much like the president. I have taken my lower parts and dyed them orange, and I did a comb over with them. So
very impressive.
Wow. That's nice.
That's a nice. That's a nice tribute to the man.
That's well, right. Hail to the chief. You know, and I can bleep.
No, I just had to drop it though. It's all right.
All right.
I'm used to it with you.
That would be one of my crotch jokes that doesn't fly. Mm. You know, and fly actually is how you could see my penis at the Ontario Improv this weekend.
That's the best sell I've ever heard.
I feel like that was good.
Bob Saget, Ontario Improv, four big shows this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, improv.com. Bob, I think it's amazing, and we had this conversation with stand-up comedians before. I think it's amazing that with all the success that you've had on television and even in movies, you still love doing stand-up. You're not a guy who needs the money, let's face it. You're out there doing it because you're still in love with the craft. Is it? What is it about that makes it something that you never feel like you can leave it behind?
It's the live aspect, and it's also that I have something new to say in a different way. So it's not just me just yanking around. I mean, I have a new hour, and so I've been doing like 90-minute shows. And so the new hour is going to be a new special, which I'm excited to do. I don't know when I'm doing it. It might be April. It might be June because I have a movie to direct, which I'm excited about.
How long total does it take you to put together a new hour?
Years. I mean, Chris Rock's out right now, and I'm actually playing a few of the same places he's playing. But he's, you know, out those theaters, out those clubs, and it's 4 or 5 years sometimes.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, Dave Chappelle, you know, God bless him, man. I mean, he's so prolific. It's just unreal. And he can put up together a new special probably every day. You know?
and by the way, before we let you go here, Bob, you mentioned 90 minutes on stage. I want our listeners to think about that. You go in and sit down and watch a movie that lasts 90 minutes. Now imagine being on stage talking to a crowd for 90 minutes solid. And trying to keep them entertained. That really is a superhuman feat.
I just love it. I mean, it's so unusual because I don't know. And when you're working on new stuff, when it's all new, you really are weaving it around and you're learning it while you're learning it with them. And then to get to make people laugh right now, the way the world is, you know, that's like the biggest privilege that there is. I mean, you guys are doing it every day.
I'm not positive that we do that every day, but that's our attempt.
I am. I listen to you guys. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, I know you're just clowning around here, but the truth is these days, if you're depressed by the news, and I'm serious about this, this is an actual genuine moment coming from me. Figure out something you can do, whether it's watching stand-up or going for a walk with your dog or just doing something that gets your head out of that bad space and really replenishes you and gives you something to re-energize you that makes you happy, that's disassociated from all that other stuff. I really think laughter right now more than ever
is the best medicine.
Is necessary, well, Bob.
No, I really am. I'm 100% with you, and it's not gooey talk at all. In fact, I have a girlfriend now, Kevin, we're going to go on a double date.
All right.
You and me. And your girlfriend? And my girlfriend. No, we're going to take wife, because your wife and I have been seeing each other.
Yeah, but, I know. Well, we know that's true, by the way.
but I was talking with her the other night, and she said, can we not talk about the news? Can we talk? Let's work on talking about something else, because I said, okay, and then we went right back to my penis. But
sure.
But the truth is, people... You can't dwell on it. You can't because it is one of these things that there's nothing you can do about the things that are upsetting you right now. Except there are actual active things you can do. You can give money. You can give time. You can do proper protest.
But go to the airport and hold a sign.
With your right, but with your tattoos, with your life. You got to do things positive,
right?
And if you got kids and they're hearing it, it's not helping them.
All right, last question since you brought up your girlfriend, and that is, what does she think when you tell her all about the presidents from before she was born, like, you know, like Clinton and people like that?
Oh, she's actually, she's 37, so she's a woman.
What?
Wow, you're going way young this
I don't
time.
Even know Bob anymore.
I've never known a woman that old. I don't know how she walks.
It's amazing that she's still alive.
I got her a walker with those little tennis balls on her so she doesn't fall over.
Oh, that's very thoughtful.
Yeah, she's great. She's actually wonderful. She lives in Chicago, and she's actually going to move to L.A. So I'm
wow. And when she moves to L.A., is she going to move into the Bob Saget compound?
Yes, I'm actually putting down some mug wrestling gear. And
well, congratulations, Bob.
Thank you. I'm putting a slip and slide right from my front door to my bed.
Very excited. All right, we got to go. We're out of time. Go see Bob on stage, Ontario Improv, this week at improv.com. Friday and Saturday night, two shows each night. Bob, have a great time in Chicago. Have a great trip back, and we will see you soon, my friend. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Love you guys.
We want you to go see Green Day at the Rose Bowl on September 16th. That's what we want, but it's up to you to give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a big Green Day fan, we got a game that you can play coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And you not only win tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl, but you qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. Airfare, hotel, spending cash, the whole deal. We got tickets for you all week long here on the Kevin Bean Show. Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
This headline comes out of Mississippi. Sagging pants could draw fine... require counseling.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. With the gold in your mouth, hat turned sideways, pan hit the ground. Call yourself a cool cat, looking like a fool.
Now, does this mean that all other problems in Mississippi have been solved?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's great news.
This is an anti-sagging ordinance that was put forward by Representative Tom Weathersby. And he's saying that the first time they catch you with your pants too low or your underwear showing, they'll give you a verbal warning.
Okay.
And then the third offense would draw a fine of $20. And then it escalates from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're serious about this.
And at some point, you literally have to undergo psychological and social counseling.
Yes.
By the Department of Human Services and Mental Health. What are they going to try to talk you out of wearing the pants the way you want to wear them?
Well, I think they want to get to the core of it. What is making you wear
like
these?
Who hurt you? Is that,
yes.
Is that what they're going
yes.
for?
Yes.
Well, we brought this story up yesterday, and we were fascinated that in 2017, Mr. Weathersby would be introducing a bill like this. So we asked Dave, is there any way you could get to him in the Mississippi courthouse? And I believe we have the Mississippi representative on the phone with us right now. Mr. Weathersby, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on your program.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I have to be honest, we're very surprised that you are spending 1 minute of your time there at the Capitol talking about how people wear their pants.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that you there in California would not understand decent, common working folks who just want to be able to walk safely down the streets without seeing some boy's underwear.
Now, if they walk down the street and they see some boy's underwear, what exactly is the downside of that? What's
because,
the damage?
Because we have the right not to be exposed to underwear or body parts in an indecent or vulgar manner. I think it's not too much to ask that we don't have to be subjected to that on an everyday basis.
Okay, I get it if you don't want to see someone's butt. That's fair. But if it's just underwear, what's the difference between seeing somebody's pants and seeing somebody's underwear? It's just cloth.
I don't know, pervert. Perhaps you enjoy seeing boys' underwear, but I personally, sir, do not care for that.
No, it's
and
not for me.
That's why this is necessary legislation in the great state of Mississippi to protect honest, decent people from being forced to look at people's underwear.
Okay, in terms of the psychological and social counseling,
yes.
How are you going to go about that? Who's paying for that?
Well, the state of Mississippi would be paying for that.
Wow.
We would charge offenders by the sixth offense of subjecting us to their heinous underwear. They would pay a $100 fine, and then they would go see a counselor that we lovingly call around here Dr. Boxer.
Dr. Boxer, okay. And he would do
say,
what?
Stop it. Pull your pants up.
Oh. Talking to us or somebody else? There.
That's what the counselors. Doctor,
the counselor would say that. Okay.
I got another law to pass. We'll talk about that
How
later.
Dare you.
Here's the thing about people in Mississippi. All these young people are ruining our lives. And so we have to take steps. I mean, next thing, they're walking down the street with their fun dip candy and their liquor sticks.
Right.
We don't need to see them licking on sticks.
I don't think a liquor stick is a problem.
Oh, it is as they suggestively put the liquor stick in their mouth and lick all that fun dip candy off of it.
Oh, I see.
Okay. With the Tamagotchis and the Beanie Babies.
So what year is it in Mississippi?
Next thing you know, the Furbies will be walking down the street, taking things over, playing Power Rangers with their Rubik's Cubes.
Okay. No. None of those things are a problem. None of them.
Or exist now. Bean?
You got me now.
Okay.
Right.
Bachelor Report coming up with Ralph and Petros just after 8 o'clock this morning, like we do on Tuesdays. First, though, who's ready to give away some tickets to go see Green Day at the Rose Bowl September 16th and qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia? Here's a game that we call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Could I hear the theme song again, please?
Just a Second!
All right, lines are lit up with Green Day fans. Kevin, how's this one go?
All right, we're going to play Just a Second of a Green Day song. We're going to give it to you twice so that you can listen to it twice and formulate which it is. And all you have to do is tell us which Green Day song it is. Give us the title.
Now, usually we play the first second of the song. Is that the case again today?
Correct.
Okay. So if you're a Green Day fan, when this comes on the radio, you instantly know what song it is. Just tell us the title. You are in the drawing to win the tickets to see the show. Who's our first contestant, please?
Christy, good morning.
Good morning.
Christy's calling us from Silmar. You ready for Just a Second?
Yes, I'm ready.
I'm going to give it to you twice. Here you go. One more time.
We are going to need a guess.
Holiday?
I'm sorry, that's Bang Bang.
That's all right. That's just one. We've got plenty more. Who's next?
Nairi and La Crescenta. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for
Just a Second?
Go for it.
Here's your song. Good luck. One more time.
Did she just hang up on us?
Hello?
Holiday?
Nairi, I'm sorry, no.
No, that's Brain Stew.
Brain Stew. See? It's a popular Green Day song, Nairi. Come on.
I think that's a given.
I don't know if that's helpful.
Jeff, okay, sorry.
Jeff in Garden Grove, hi.
They've already lost. Why mock? Right, that's what you're saying. Right. Okay, fair enough.
Welcome to
Just a Second.
Are you ready for your song?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Go to you twice. Here you go. One more time. What's that song?
American Idiot?
Yes.
Yes! Why do I feel like Jeff is guessing?
What?
Oh. I feel like Jeff was guessing.
Well, he guessed right.
He did. Well done. You are in the drawing, sir. Thank you.
Karen in Montebello. Hi.
Hi.
All right. You ready for Just a Second?
I hope so.
Here you go. One more time.
When I Come Around.
Nicely done. Hold on. Not too bad. Two in a row. All right. Let's go to Joe in Irvine. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
You ready for
Just a Second?
Ready for action.
All right, here's your song. One more time.
Not Longview.
I mean, wait, are we naming the songs it's not?
Hold on, though. He did say it's not Longview.
It's not Longview.
Which is true.
It is true, but you only get one guess, and I'm sorry. We're going to have to take that. That is not correct, sir.
That's good riddance. Time of your life.
We are playing for Green Day tickets at the Rose Bowl September 16th, and you qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. We already have two in the drawing. Let's see if we can get Dawn in there as well.
Dawn in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Yes, but I knew Time of Your Life.
Yeah, it's great. That wasn't yours.
That was the last guy.
That one.
That doesn't help, though. You got to see if you know yours.
If you knew that one, I would assume that you'll know this one. I hope.
Oh, God.
Okay, you ready?
I don't know.
Here you
Good attitude, Don.
Here you go. One more time.
Crap. No, I don't know it.
How about a guess?
Dookie.
All right. It's Boulevard.
Is that even the name of a song?
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Technically,
no. Sorry. All right.
Dawn had a lot of emotions going
on
in that brief appearance on the show.
I feel like there was a few people we were talking to there.
Yeah, she was all over the place, man.
She was split. I would just like to say this again, that Bean and I believe would not be able to get this game either.
Yes, this is not
no
for
way.
Me. It's right. Tough.
Let's go to Brian in Culver City. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Here's your Just a Second with Green Day. One more time.
Easily, Welcome to Paradise.
Nicely done. All right. Do we go out on a high note with Brian?
Nope.
Or do we risk
one
it
more.
All?
And one, you know, one more.
You know we roll the dice.
All right. Why take one call when you could take one call too many?
Let's go Caesar in Wilmington. Hi, Caesar.
Hi, good morning.
All right, don't let me down now. I'm vouching for you.
It's all on you, Caesar.
All right, here you go. One more time.
The Wasteland?
Jesus of Suburbia.
All right, so we go out as, like, sad.
Oh, no, no, I feel like that went well.
Brian is in, Karen is in, Jeff is in. They are one step closer to winning tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl September 16th and qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number one. Unfortunately, there's only one winner this time around, and Miss Allie McKay is going to tell us who it is.
Congrats, Karen.
Karen. Yay! Congrats, Karen. Sorry, Jeff, you hold on. Boy, that's a bummer for Jeff.
You went to him and said congrats.
Congrats, Karen. Sorry about that whole thing, Jeff. You didn't win. Karen did. And Karen, thanks for playing the game.
Just a second.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 749.
It's the best part of the whole week. Tuesday's just after 8 for The Bachelor Report. Petros and Ralph break down last night's episode of the show on ABC. Ralph, are we going to be excited? Are we going to love this one today?
Of course you are. Love every one of them. They're all awesome.
They're all magic.
They're all the best thing on television.
I can't wait. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Before I get to show business news, I want to remind folks, Friday night, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose. Friday night, the late show there at 10 p.m. We do it. It's called Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Me, writer, director, actor Kevin Smith. We have a pretty good time. We had a blast last Friday. So come on out and see the show. I think you'll enjoy yourself. Friday, 10 p.m., Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com for more information and for tickets.
Point of order. I don't accept this offer.
And while I'm talking about tickets, this is pretty cool. This Saturday in Westwood at the Bruin Theater is the premiere of the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah!
Pretty cool because I'm in this movie a little bit. They asked me to come in and do a couple voices for the Lego Batman movie.
Who do you play, Ralph? Can you tell us?
I guess so.
Not good enough. Go ahead.
I mean, I had to sign an NDA, so I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say, what I'm...
No one's listening.
Well, people listen.
Yeah.
Probably with our giveaway and everything, probably the folks, good folks at Warner Brothers
I
are
see.
Listening.
Okay.
I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I'm going to err on the side of caution. Well,
give us
say.
One. Just one.
Steve.
No, I play Steve, yes. Steve. I've just done a couple little roles. So
that's pretty cool.
But when you watch the movie, play a little game with yourself. See if you can find me.
That's
while
pretty
I'm
cool.
In there. Yeah, it is pretty cool. The big roles, however, Will Arnett as Batman, Zach Galifianakis as the Joker, Michael Cera as Robin, Rosario Dawson as Batgirl / Barbara Gordon, Ralph Fiennes as Alfred. Pretty cool stuff. From what I've seen of the movie so far, it looks amazing. I am looking forward to the premiere. I'll be there. On Saturday, you wanted to be there too? I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away right now. If you want to go see the premiere of the Lego Batman movie this Saturday at the Bruin Theater in Westwood, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 people through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere of the Lego Batman movie.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
By the way, I got some complaints yesterday that we did not include that in the most upbeat songs of all time. Everything is awesome.
Yeah, we're talking about serious songs, though. I mean, real songs.
That wasn't really a song. It was just...
That was absolutely a song.
Where did it chart on the charts?
I think it was top 20. It was Lonely Planet with Tegan and Sarah in Assist. I think it was a relative relative hit.
No, I don't believe it.
I think Lonely Island, maybe.
What did I say?
Lonely Planet.
That's the travel guide. Sorry.
Bigger. I'm sure it was number one song by the Lonely Planet. And Tig Notaro was also on bass. He's just making stuff up now.
I'm just
he knows
saying.
No one's going to source him on it.
No, I'll source myself on it.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying is that it is an upbeat song that makes you happy when you hear it. That's all.
Yeah, we understand that.
All right.
Apparently, on that.
Apparently, it only went to number 57 on the Billboard Hot 100.
No, it was top 20.
I thought it was bigger than that.
Lonely Capsules.
Lonely Planet.
Number 7 on the dance and electronic
chart. Shut up. Holy crap.
Hey, the Grammys are BS, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So much
I
so.
I mean, there's some that win that I disagree with, but in general.
Grammys are BS. So a lot of musicians and artists are saying they're not even going to bother attending.
Is that right? Yeah. Who?
Drake won't be there. Justin Bieber and Kanye West have also announced they're considering not showing up.
Wow, and they're all nominated for Grammys, too.
Yeah. Kanye and Justin have said separately that they feel the Grammys don't represent what's new and great in music. The entire organization has no meaning today, in their quotes. Frank Ocean didn't even put his Blonde album in the running for a Grammy. He feels they're so inconsequential. So the Grammys will be handed out on February 12th at the Staples Center to about 8 people. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I will tell you that Kanye has a legitimate gripe with the nominations that he is. Even though he's won 27 Grammys or something like that, he's rarely nominated in the Album of the Year category, and most of his albums have deserved it. I think he has been slighted by being left in the rap and the R&B categories. I don't blame him for being ticked.
There you go.
There you go. Speaking of Grammys, Daft Punk is going to be performing at the event.
Are they really?
How about that?
That's rare.
The Weeknd?
Weeknd.
Has announced he will be performing. Alicia Keys. Daft Punk will also join A Tribe Called Quest and Dave Grohl.
All right.
On stage. How about that?
That sounds awesome.
Fun. Yeah. Anderson .Paak.
Allie.
Yeah.
You love him.
Anderson .Paak will be performing as well. So there's a lot of good stuff going on.
I love him.
He's pretty good.
He's really great. Mm-hmm. He's like my favorite.
James Corden will be hosting, of course. And this all happens on February 12th. So just there's your Grammy update.
Sure going to miss LL Cool J as the host, I'll tell you that. He brought a lot to that role.
Just won't let that die.
So super bitter.
He's just not going to let that go.
He's not the host, so don't worry about it.
In a related story, to coincide with the Grammy Awards, Prince's catalog of music will finally be available on streaming services.
Yay! Is that right?
Yes. Warner Brothers has struck a deal to bring his music to Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, and other prominent streaming platforms. And it will all happen on February 12th to coincide with the Grammys. So it's a big day in music. What?
I mean, I love it because I love Prince, but he didn't want that.
At all.
So that's kind of, it's kind of a bummer, but yay me.
He's dead now.
What?
Yeah. Turns out when you're dead, you have less control over your music than you did when you were alive.
A little greedy. I appreciate it.
What? The music industry is profit-based?
Listen, I've got a lot of hot takes over here.
Stepping out on the ledge there, young lady. You better watch yourself. That's sad music news. Asia frontman John Wetton has passed away at the age of 67. Due to colon cancer is what took his life. Asia, of course, one of the supergroups of the 80s, had members from Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Yes, King Crimson, like John Wetton. The Buggles. Remember the Buggles? Video killed the radio star? Yeah. That's where Jeff Downs originated. Anyway, Asia was a smash hit band, and they had some great songs, and he was the bassist and lead singer, John Wetton was. Give me a little taste. Give me a little Asia, will you?
You're the edge, on the spear. You're the nail on the cross.
Not his best work.
Is that considered their best song?
No, it's that's not good.
One thing is sure, the time will tell. If you were wrong, the brightest ring around the moon. I'm talking when I die.
That's real good.
I love that tune.
That's Asia.
Yeah.
It is.
Is that a deep cut or is that a well-known one?
That was a hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't come to me for chair positions. Apparently, I don't know anything.
Not a fan, Kevin?
No.
No.
I could do without him.
How about Bill Withers? That was Bill Withers, really. I'm surprised Bill Withers. today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford's 30 years old today. Justin Timberlake is 36. Bobby Moynihan from SNL. Very funny and very nice guy. 40 years old today. Kerry Washington's also 40. Portia de Rossi's 44. Minnie Driver's 47. John Lydon of the Sex Pistols is 61. Harry Wayne Casey, from KC and the Sunshine Band, is 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, are we ready? Is everybody ready? Everybody strapped in? Ready for the journey?
Yes.
Every Tuesday, just after 8:05, Petras and Ralph bring us the Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Hoopa!
Let's welcome Petros Papadakis back to the show. He, of course, is the co-host of his own program, the very popular Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports in the afternoon. Hey, P, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning to you guys. Popo Zow.
Right?
Right?
Yeah,
and
what about
well.
That ass on that Greek girl, Ralph? What about the toilet on her? You know how I love the romance.
I know, you're a romantic bastard.
You can't use the word toilet and romance in the same sentence.
I'll tell you something. She had a lot of cushion there in the swamp, in the bayou. I was sitting on that log. That's all
no
I got to tell you.
About that. I thought Troy Landry was going to come up and then shoot her in the ass from swamp people. Her ass was so monstrous.
I guarantee that's a big target there.
Shoot him!
Last night, P, it was on. It was the battle between Corinne and Taylor. It was the Bleeda in Wisconsin.
I got to be honest, Ralph. I mean, Nick couldn't care less about the fight between the girls and which girl doesn't like the other girl. He didn't listen to a damn thing either girl said. All he is staring at that toilet, brother.
You know what? I got the same hit, P, that he really just likes the fact that Corinne will try to mount him at every opportunity, and that's all he's really focused on.
I mean, if that thing was a real toilet, it would be like the Toto toilet that,
right.
that washes out your behind.
Right, we got it.
Wow. Yeah, you like her rear end,
we
P.
got it.
I
got take
that
it easy.
Sense.
I think we get it.
Made me buy that toilet. I tell you, it was a good decision.
All right.
When we started
easy.
Last night's episode, there was a battle going on between Taylor and Corinne. Corinne was upset because Taylor, being a mental health professional, was questioning whether she had the maturity, the emotional intelligence, if you will, to be married to Nick.
Taylor is being really condescending to me. She was like, I just had to explain what an emotional intelligence meant. I'm like, that's not what I'm talking about, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, that's an indicator right there that your emotional intelligence may be a little wanting.
All right.
If that's your reaction.
You can't corner somebody and tell them that they need to be. I mean, it's counterproductive to tell somebody who's not emotionally intelligent that they're not emotionally intelligent. How do you think they're going to react?
That's true.
Because they're not emotionally intelligent.
Well, that's why she came out swinging. And Taylor, she felt attacked as well. And here's what she had to say.
Oh, my God. Corinne, you need to shut the f*** up and let me talk. She can't accept the things that I have to say to her. So instead, she's pulling out to bring out about me. It's ridiculous.
It's on.
Full-blown catfight last night.
Wow.
So what Corinne does is she pulls Nick aside and pretty much gets her side of the story in first. In essence, saying Taylor's a bully and she's picking on me and the other girls in the house don't like her. It pretty much just throws her under the bus for her own benefit. And as P mentioned, Nick really didn't really pay attention one way or the other when he gave out the roses. Sarah and Astrid got sent home, which I thought was sad because they were both the lovely girls.
I like Sarah and
Astrid.
Too. I mean, she could breastfeed all of Wisconsin.
You are focused.
Wow,
like a laser today.
Is your wife out of town, Petros?
Hey guys, listen. This is a sexual year on The Bachelor.
It is.
You
very.
Guys are going to have to accept it.
All right.
Everybody's boobs are bigger. Everybody's behind is rounder. Everybody's
right.
abs are tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's ready to plow.
All and right. then P, it was on to Narlins. Narlins is where their next stop was on this love journey.
The sex capital of the South.
And by the way, for folks who don't know how much P loves New Orleans, tell them about the tattoo on your upper arm there, P.
I regrettably got a Bourbon Street tattoo on my upper left arm, not because I was drunk, but because it was cold.
What?
What?
Yeah,
what
it was just so cold, and I was waiting in line for a cheeseburger at this famous place I love called the Camellia Grill, so I jogged across the street to a warm tattoo studio and was tattooed. I got the Bourbon Street tattoo. I don't regret the tattoo. I regret the placement. It's a little low.
Okay, I feel like we're off target a bit.
I'm sorry, you know. I mean, Dean asked me to tell a story.
Right, I did ask.
And then she asked me to pontificate.
Right.
Okay.
Sure. All right. We go on to the group date where all the girls and Nick go together, and they go to a haunted mansion in New Orleans.
So cool.
Ghosts, P. Ghost of a little 8-year-old girl who died of yellow fever.
Yeah, awesome. Let's do that for 40 minutes.
The ghost of little May was wandering the halls, knocking over books and shattering chandeliers. It was a horror show.
And Raven, he doesn't sound impressed.
And Raven, our little girl from Arkansas, a little girl from the South, she's not having none of this. She's not cottoning into this because she doesn't like all these evil spirits and whatnot. It goes against her upbringing.
Taylor definitely got what was coming to her.
Oh, sorry.
Eyes met.
That was Corinne there ratting out Taylor. I'm sorry.
You want to go to the next clip?
Go to the next clip if you can.
I'm ready. You ready?
Okay, yeah. Here's Raven dealing with the ghosts in the haunted mansion.
I did not sign up to be part of the Ghostbusters. If we see a ghost, I'm going to rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus is what I'm going to do. I'm not putting up with it.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Please tell me she saw a ghost.
She rebuked it in the name of Jesus.
That wouldn't be your first move?
I would not be rebuking in the name of Jesus.
Oh, I would go so hard for Jesus if I saw a ghost that I would grab my cross. I would start screaming at it in Greek. That's the only way to fight evil.
No, I didn't realize that.
I would just beat feet. I would just be just laying rubber on my way out of that house is what
I'd do. My father always told me only the Greeks know the ancient secrets in which to eradicate Satan.
All right. What is happening today?
It's a very informational break. Yeah.
I feel like we've all lost P.
So then they go to the 2-on-1 date. Here's the magic of the 2-on-1 date is that Nick, two ladies, one rose. Two men enter, one man leaves. Who do you think they put on the 2-on-1 date?
Corinne.
Taylor and Corinne and Nick.
Of course.
One of them is going home, so they go into the bayou.
It's not a date just to stand in the woods.
It is when they go to the bayou, P, and there was a table and chairs for them to enjoy.
But it's not a date. How could that be a date? They just stood in the woods like Blair Witch.
Corinne wasn't worried about her seeming lack of brains, however. She doesn't think that really looms large in this particular game, and she may be right.
I'm intelligent in my own way. I'm people smart. It's really sad that you can't read, you know, other signs of intelligency. Is intelligency a word?
Nope. Intelligency.
She said intelligency.
She wants people to read her intelligency.
Hmm. I'm intelligent in my own way.
That's right.
Which is a different kind of smart.
That is just the ultimate cop-out. You know, all right, I'm not athletic, but I'm a sports star in my own right. No, you're just not. There's definitions to things. And she is not smart. But she doesn't care. You know why? I'll tell you what. Here she goes.
At the end of the day, Nick is going to choose the girl he wants to get to know better.
Oh.
No votes for Taylor. Make America Corinne again.
Make America Corinne again.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Stuff like that makes you feel like she's a little bit of a plant. You know, she's always got an outro. You know, she's always got some kind of exit to every...
But doesn't it seem like she's been sort of plotting and doing stuff, you know, sort of behind the scenes the entire season?
Yeah, but P's suggesting she's getting help from the producers to be a fascinating character.
Somebody gave her a bounce house to mount him in. You know, somebody gave her the whipped cream bottle and the robe.
I think she's asking for those things, P, and they are willingly providing.
Yeah, it's either that or you think all the producers are just helping her every step of the way.
She's calculating in her own
Corinne?
Right.
Production or Corinne?
Corinne is driving Corinne, and production is glad to help in any way they can.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But let me ask you this, guys, because I know you're invested in various contestants. How would you feel if Corinne, the strategy she's used to play the game has been distasteful at times? How would you feel if she ends up winning?
I would then say Nick is not there for the right reasons. Because
really?
As Taylor said, if he ends up with Corinne, their entire relationship will be based on whipped creams and lies. Whipped cream and lies!
That's pretty good for the short term.
That's not a bad way to live.
it's no reason to get married, though, with cream and lies.
That's true.
I think it reflects on Nick.
I agree.
That's the type of dude he is. He's an idiot who loves sex. This is a sexual girl, also an idiot. They're a match.
Yeah, he's a bad choice for The Bachelor if this is the kind of girl he's looking for, in my opinion. However, they go into the bayou and they run into a voodoo priestess. Who naturally gives them some mojo,
sure,
some juju,
sure,
whatever you get from a priestess, and they get a tarot card reading. But Corinne is in it to win it. I can tell because she asks the tarot card reader a very important question.
How do you make a voodoo doll specific to a person?
gets a Taylor voodoo doll.
Oh, my God.
And isn't that awesome?
And she puts the evil juju on her.
Oh, it's on.
And guess what happens? Taylor went home.
Boom.
We made Corinne great again. She was
it
right.
It worked.
It worked. That voodoo is faux real.
It all goes back to the toilet that I mentioned.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason she's there.
Right.
The magic toilet. You know, but however, even though Taylor gets sent home, she says, I need to have one more conversation with Nick. So at the end of the episode, she comes bursting into the dinner date with Corinne and Nick saying, I need to talk to you. So she's going to tell some, she's going to drop some truth on Nick about Corinne.
And that's the beginning of
the beginning of next week's episode.
They're going to get their truth on. But what happens next week? Ralphie's crying like a bitch. Like, what's going on?
I don't know. He's bawling in next week's episode, according to the previews, and we're not sure why.
That makes me happy.
I'm thinking he sits on his own scrotum. It's my guess. It's just a guess.
That kind of tears.
It's just a guess.
I hope your guess is right. Yeah. All right. The Bachelor is Monday nights at 8 on ABC Channel 7. And, of course, every Tuesday morning just after 8, we do the Bachelor Report. Petros, we'll look for you doing your own thing this afternoon on AM 570. Thanks, Ralph. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Concludes the slow dance portion of the show. Hey, yesterday, Ralph brought us news during the Showbiz Beat that there was going to be a public memorial for the beloved mother-daughter duo of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, who died within a few days of each other recently. And for fans of them, there's going to be a memorial March 25th, and it's going to be at the Forest Lawn Cemetery, Hollywood Hills. And he brought that news and then was mentioning that he would never go to something like that. And he was kind of surprised by a lot of people who do. And these public memorials have been very popular. We talked about it yesterday about how, you know, they filled up the Staples Center, I think, for Michael Jackson Memorial after he died. And a lot of times people will go because they're fans of somebody.
Yeah, he was asking all of us in the room, would you go, would you go, would you go? To any celebrities.
Right.
What do you call it, a reception?
Memorial.
I don't think it's a reception. Memorial.
Yeah. Memorial, yeah.
And Bean was the outlier here. Odd, I know. It's hard to believe. Yeah. But Bean would not only go to public memorials, but perhaps private funerals as well.
And I feel like it wasn't until the discussion of hearing him say that he read about it in a newspaper. Who was it again, Bean?
It was the great R&B singer and songwriter Charles Brown.
So you read what essentially was a funeral announcement, and you took that as an invitation to go.
Well, I mean, it was open. I mean, the church was open. Anyone could just drive
over.
The
door was open.
And walk in
it
and sit down.
It wasn't open, though. You get that, right?
Well, I don't know that for a fact.
But they don't lock the doors if it's a private funeral.
No, I know that.
Because nobody else is trying to get in.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't have any reason to suspect that it was not open to the public, that anyone couldn't come. I still don't know that was
Let me just clarify that for you. All of them are not open to the public unless they say open to the public. It's pretty easy.
Okay, so I'm confused now.
So about what?
I'm confused.
So you went to Chris Brown's funeral.
No, it was Charles. All right,
Charles,
hold on. Why don't we start right now? Because yesterday you had a lot of trouble with this, too. Charles Brown is a legendary singer, songwriter, popular in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. And the reason I love Charles Brown, the reason he's my main man, is that he wrote two of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, including
bells will be ringing, the glad, glad news.
So he wrote that one. Great and then song. As if that weren't enough, he wrote this one.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Charles Brown.
Fine. But listen. Here's the thing. There's a difference between really, really liking someone's work and then going to their funeral where you weren't invited. I mean, that's odd.
But I mean, was I not invited?
You were not invited.
Or was it in the paper saying Charles Brown's funeral is going to be on this date and this church?
I feel like that was just an announcement of the funeral. It wasn't an invitation to the public.
Look. My dad unfortunately passed away about eight years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody that I didn't know had shown up to the funeral, I don't know. I feel like I would have punched him.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a personal thing.
Wouldn't have been hurting anything or even getting involved. They literally just would have been sitting in a pew just watching.
It's a personal thing. I don't want people to sit there and watch my pain and my family's pain. That's
grieving
weird.
Is very personal,
right?
But isn't it different though that this was a celebrity with a fan base and the people
did it
who
say
were...
everyone welcome?
Well,
did
it
say
it
public
specifically?
Public
that,
memorial.
But I'm just saying, wasn't I doing what everybody else in the church was doing, which was to pay a reflection on the man's life and to mourn him and to miss him?
I'm going to suggest that everybody else in that church knew him, mm-hmm. knew him personally as a person.
The guys think that I'm alone on this, and I'm saying I think a lot of people want to say goodbye to people that they admire. They're not friends with them. They're not family. They don't know them, but they are fans, and they want the opportunity to wish them well and say goodbye. And I'd like to hear from you if you've been to a celebrity funeral or a public memorial service. I'd like to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think there's anything weird about it.
But public memorial services, I mean, I guess that's okay, but it's not as egregious as mm-hmm.
We'll take both. We'll take both and find out. Because you and Ralph and Allie, you were all saying that you would never go to, even if you – and Allie, you were a fan of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Very much so.
In a million years, you would never go down to the Hollywood Forest Lawn Cemetery to say goodbye.
No.
But for a lot of people, they want to go. Right?
Right.
I mean, I guess. I don't know anyone like that that wants to go to a funeral. I know that people get really upset when somebody that they really worship or they really love their work, you know, you get really upset. But I don't think it ever occurs to you, I should go to the funeral.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try Beth? She's in Pasadena. Let's see what she's got to say on line three, please.
Hey, Beth.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Allie. Just so you know, Allie, usually I agree with you on everything.
Well, you sound bright.
But
this time, I have to agree with Dean. If it was a public funeral, I mean, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, and when he passed away, it was so sad.
Right.
But I used to have to drive by Forest Lawn to get to work every day, and there'd be all these people standing around at his funeral, and it's just like, you're just one in a million there. You're not like a real fan. But if you could find a way to get into the private funeral of someone you really like, then
Beth.
I think that I'm all for
if
it.
If you could find a way to get into a private funeral. Beth likes you, Allie.
I feel like maybe that's the height of disrespect. You're infringing on their family and their friends just so you can be a part of something that you're truly not.
But how was I infringing, though? Again, I just walked in.
Because everybody in the room knew Charlie Brown. And
hey,
you
Charles
didn't.
Brown.
Charles Brown, whoever. And you didn't.
I just sat there and minded my own business and silently wished him well. And then, of course, walked by the open casket on the way out.
But
dear Lord.
But I think there's this level, too, of, like, I think that I have this genius business plan of, like, a get-it-started company.
Okay.
Where you go to, like, you know, like Mary Kay home parties or a funeral or someone's wedding, and you are the person to, like, get it started, you know? Like, oh, this face lotion is so great, and you're like,
I'm lost. I'm completely
lost.
What the
F are you talking about?
I think Beth lost. I think she was on my side,
no.
But now I don't want her. All right, Beth, thank you for the call. I appreciate
Beth,
that.
You're crazy, but thank you for calling.
I really like Beth.
I do too, right up until the crazy part.
1-800-520-1067. We have several people who are calling who just want to weigh in on whether I was out of line or not, but we're also looking for your calls. If you went to a celebrity funeral, first and foremost, secondly, if you went to a memorial service, we want to hear from you too. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
We are talking about the fact that Bean scaled the fence and got into Murphy Brown's funeral.
No.
And,
first of all,
it was
Charles Brown,
a singer. And he wasn't supposed to be there.
And there was an ad. It's not an ad as much as an announcement.
It's not an ad. Wait,
in the newspaper.
But you thought it was an ad.
I didn't think it was an ad. But look, I was a fan of the man, so I went and paid my respects. That's all. A lot of people have a lot of opinions on that, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Norma writes in, if someone famous dies and they print the funeral in the paper, it says private service if they don't want the public there, which was not the case in this funeral, by the way. So Team Bean is what Norma has to say. Right? Right.
Did you have to caress his face, though, as you walk by the casket?
A light kiss on the cheek. That was kind of creepy.
Right?
Let's go to James, line two, please. He's in Corona. He's up first with the calls. Please hang on, everybody. We'll get to as many as we can. James, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What say you?
Hello, James.
Hello, James.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to call in and point out that was probably more of a public announcement to alert friends, maybe even estranged family members that were out of contact with him.
Right. How about people who bought all his records?
Probably not. More just of an announcement, not an invitation. Just letting people who might not be in contact with family members organizing the funeral that this man has passed come pay your respects.
Okay. So, James, let's say that you read that about Bobby Brown, and then he had a funeral.
Charles Brown. Bobby Brown is still alive.
Whoever. And then you decided to go to the funeral. Would that feel weird to you?
In my opinion, I would be sitting there horrified of the moment that somebody comes up to me and says, hey, how did you know this man? Or can you speak of an experience you had? And then you're just sitting there wiggling your thumbs going, well, I own that vinyl.
I like your impression.
Your dumb guy impression. That's pretty sweet.
All right, sir. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to line 7, please. Amy's in Riverside. She's got a difference of opinion. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I'm totally team Bean on this one. I feel like if it's in the paper, it's to let everybody know that this happened and come pay your respects if you feel that you need to. And I feel like, Kevin, like you had mentioned with your father, you couldn't possibly have known everybody that your father knew. So if a stranger walked into the funeral and said, well, I know your father from bingo on Wednesday nights, you would still punch him in the face? I feel like that's why.
Yeah, because my dad never played bingo. That you know of.
That would be a sure sell tie.
What if he was in a secret bingo club?
He ran it?
Like, yes.
So underground bingo club?
So, Amy, you're saying once they put it in the paper, then it becomes public.
Yes, that's what I think.
You're crazy like Bean.
I mean, I'm sorry. You're insane.
Patriots are going down, Allie. Patriots are going down.
Okay.
See,
all right.
Amy's
it just got weird.
Nuts. Obviously,
right.
Amy.
Thank
is
you for
nuts.
The call.
This is,
hey,
this is a scattered group of people.
It really is, and I love them.
Let's go to line 6, Lawndale. How about this? How about Paul, who is a funeral director?
Oh.
Now, is he the one to give us the definitive answer on if I misunderstood the wording in the newspaper?
It depends on whose side he's on.
Paul, thank you so much for calling.
No worries. And as much as it pains me so horribly, Bean is kind of in the right here.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Paul's fine. He sounds fine. All right, go on, please.
Well, when they make announcements like that.
Kevin, quit screwing with his phone line. Let him talk.
You know how phone signals are.
Let him talk. All right, go ahead.
As much as Bean is in the right, if they make an announcement, any kind of announcement whatsoever, unless they specifically say for family only, usually it means that they want everybody who wants to celebrate that day.
Boom.
His phone's gotten out.
Even though Kevin is trying to screw with your phone, I got the message, which is they would say it's private if it's private, right? That's what you're saying, Paul.
I feel like private
Paul
is
just
implied.
I do, too.
It's just unwritten because who are you?
Paul, by the way, was a funeral director. He was the answer
it's
to
a little
this question.
Suspect, right?
And you had nothing.
Paul, the funeral director?
Right?
Come on.
Like any funeral director is named Paul.
Right.
Let's go to San Pedro on line 1. Let's talk to Valerie. She went to a funeral of a celebrity like I did. Let's dig into this a little bit.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
You went to a celebrity funeral?
I went to Michael Jackson's funeral. Actually.
Okay, but that was a public.
Yeah, you needed
memorial.
Tickets. Yeah. But some people actually, this is my thing, for funerals for my family, I love the support of other people. And usually my family's like, don't be crying at my funeral. Like, be happy, celebrate it. I want everyone to be happy, not crying.
I feel like we're off topic. So,
Valerie, did you have any problem with me going to Charles Brown's funeral?
No. Not at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you. A lot of Team Bean support here today, by the way.
A lot of Team Bean.
How about that?
This
is scary.
All right. Let's try Joanna, San Gabriel, line 8, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Joanna, thank you for the call. What say you?
Hi. So I work for a church, and I deal with funerals all the time. And I agree with a lot of other people. If it would have been private, people would have said it was private, and somebody probably would have been at the door asking you if you were related or you knew him before you.
Are they bouncers?
No, usually there's like a mortuary person or someone from the church, you know, just to like kind of keep the door and ask people because of the fact that families will request it to be private, and they do go to that extreme, you know, as to make sure that everyone coming in is family.
So you're saying that if Dan Brown dies and then he's got a funeral and you Charles Brown and then you go to it, that's cool.
Yeah, that's okay, especially if it didn't say family only or this service is private.
But I think this is different because Chucky Brown was a famous guy. So it's different that they were making an announcement because they wouldn't. You know what I'm saying?
They would have put that it was private or that.
I think private is sort of implied, unless I think you have to say, "Hey, public, come on in." For it to be open.
Public welcome.
Yes.
Well, next time you can always call the place where it's going to be and ask them, and they will know. But usually if it doesn't say private, a lot of people put it out there and they want people to go. Sometimes they don't have a lot of family members. Sometimes they don't have a lot of friends. There's people who are really
So they
old.
Just want to pack it with seat fillers?
Yes.
Oh, that's so sad.
You can't meet people.
All right. Have you done this, Roxanne? Oh,
it's
Joanna. I'm sorry.
Joanna,
have you done
but
it?
But that's okay. Roxanne is fine.
Have you done
yes,
it?
Yes, Roxanne.
Right?
Where did you even come up with Roxanne?
How am I supposed to know?
That name is nowhere on the board.
Have you ever done this?
Yeah, I've gone to people's funeral who I don't know. Like I said, I work for a church, so I'm there.
Okay.
All right, Debbie. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Sheila.
All right. Well, look, we're going to leave it there. But
hold
I
on.
Think...
I have a tweet, if you don't mind. Bean, I'd like to
sure,
add with.
Of course.
So let me get this straight. Bean will go to a celeb's funeral uninvited, mm-hmm. but RSVPs no to friends' weddings.
That's a great point.
And
great
your
point
is?
I found a lot of Beans people on the phones today, Ralph.
Yeah, and on Twitter.
That's why
and
I never use the phone.
Well. And on Twitter
I never
well.
Use the phone because of that.
Guys, is it possible that maybe I was right on this one?
No.
No.
Here's okay. the thing. There are a lot of Beans people because every time they have one of these freaking public memorial ceremonies, whatever, you just see teams and teams of the empty-souled just showing up, just trying to desperately co-sign someone else's fame and achievements, and they
maybe
just
it's
show
the
up.
Opposite of that. Maybe it's the
creepy.
People who care and love too much. Maybe that's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hey, we announced that yesterday K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 destination number one is Green Day in Sydney, Australia. Here's how it works. Between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., so for the next 12 hours after Ralph's Showbiz Bee, anytime you hear a Green Day song, you be caller 20, and you win tickets to go see the band at the Rose Bowl, and you qualify for the trip to see them in Sydney, Australia. And I'm just giving you a heads up here. It could be any time after Ralph's Showbiz Bee. Okay?
Oh.
Okay. Huh.
Well, now.
So stand by for that.
Okay.
Right now. See what's going on in Hollywood. What's going on, Ralph?
Here's the thing about the Pantages.
Okay.
Nope, not the Pantages at all. The Palladium. The Hollywood Palladium is not a big venue. Is no. not a big theater. How many would you say it holds, the Palladium? Would you guess? The Palladium. The Hollywood Palladium.
I don't know.
I'd say 3,700.
3,700 is exactly right, Allie. Good guess.
Thank
good
you.
Guess. Right on the nose. Grammy Week is coming up, and they are going to be having a series of intimate performances from big stars, an event called the City Sound Vault Project, where it brings huge artists into intimate settings for their fans to see them up close and personal. Tickets are on sale today to see Sting at the Palladium on February 8th and 9th, Beck on the 10th, the Chainsmokers on the 11th, and Metallica on February 12th.
What?
It's a pretty good lineup. Pretty good lineup of bands. Now, Metallica is playing February 12th, by the way, which is Grammy night. So they're going to have to get from their gig at the Staples Center in downtown L.A. to Hollywood for their concert. Well, that'll be a breeze because the 101's always wide open. So I think that'll be good for them.
No cars on that one.
But that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, very.
So there you go. If you want to see any of those artists at the Palladium, today's your day. Make it happen.
That's a good tip.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bean.
Doctor Who fans are sad today. We all learned that Peter Capaldi has announced he is leaving the series. I feel it's time to move on, he said. Capaldi is the 12th Doctor. And he will reportedly leave after the annual Christmas episode. That's usually where they make the big handoff. That's usually if they are going to do a regeneration, that's usually when it happens. So Peter will go bye-bye, and then we'll be introduced to the 13th Doctor. It's kind of exciting. A lot of speculation. It might be a woman this time.
Hmm. All right.
Hayley Atwell has expressed interest in being the Doctor.
I'd watch the show then.
You don't watch Doctor Who?
No, I don't. But I would.
Why do you say
if it was
that?
Hayley
no,
Atwell.
I won't. Like, blah, blah.
I don't. I tried it once after you were saying it was great. And it's good. but who has time for that?
You don't know, man.
I got a lot going on, man. I'm busy.
No, you don't.
I got stuff to do, people to
you
see,
don't
places
have
to go.
Any of those things.
A lot of that.
No, we have none
very,
of that.
Very busy life.
Can you just pick up on it, or do you need the whole?
I got to watch all 50 seasons.
Yeah, you have to go back to 1966 and okay. start watching.
See, that sounds hard, Ralph.
No, listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Uh-huh.
The best thing you can do is pick up...
at the start of a new season.
At the introduction of a new doctor.
Oh.
Because each doctor not only has a new physicality, a new body when they regenerate, but has a new point of view, a new attitude... a new perspective. And so if you're going to pick up on the new storyline, that's usually the best place to
okay.
do it. So you might want to go back and where Capaldi first showed up, or maybe go back to
David Tennant?
Matt Smith.
Okay.
Who was the previous one okay. and Tennant before him. So, but I recommend the show enormously. It's really well done and entertaining.
I do like when Kevin says, who has time for that? Because I yeah. guarantee that Doctor Who is so much better than so many other shows, Kevin, is making time for.
Oh, of course, yes. Goes without saying.
I mean, no offense, Kevin, but you're still watching Scorpion. I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. That's so harsh.
I mean, no offense.
Kevin's face.
I'm not listening. Are you guys talking about me?
And Paris Jackson has announced she's officially joining the family business.
Which means...
Michael's 18-year-old daughter has signed a power manager to help get her into show business. Well... after all the good it did for her father, I could see why she'd want to be in show business at a young age. Arnold Stifel is his name, and apparently he is a manager to the superstars. He's got clients like Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper. And rumors are now that she will make an appearance on the new show Star over there on, I want to say, Fox?
I think that's yeah. right, yeah.
Yeah, she may be appearing on that. She's a lovely girl. But didn't she have sort of emotional issues and stuff?
She had a lot of attempted suicide attempts.
That's
and
what
was
I
a
wanted
heavy
to get
cutter
at.
And yeah. a lot of that. Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't have the psychological toughness, the mental wherewithal to withstand the outrageous slings and arrows of a career in show business.
Yeah, and she does seem a little delicate. Still.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. Maybe that's not a good move for her. Maybe someone who loves her or cares about her should step in and try to steer her in another direction. Oh, wait a minute. I'm talking about the Jacksons. What was I thinking? Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it in the past, Ralph. You have had some reservations about any kid going into show business.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that when we had, what's her name? Kate, it wasn't Kate Beckinsale. Who did we have on last week from the
Mila Jovovich.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how much in love with acting her little now 9-year-old daughter is, and mm-hmm. how she just blossomed and came alive on the set and just loves it so much and yes. knows it's what she wants
and
to do.
And she was great in that movie.
And I heard she was very good in the movie.
Yeah.
Should Mila have said, no, you can't act, can't be in the movie?
I think parents are just afraid of that heartbreak for
listen,
their kids, you know?
I think... Well, I'm not going to tell someone else how to raise their kids. I just believe you are putting your kid in harm's way when you introduce them to that particular profession at that particular age. Emotionally and mentally, it can be exceedingly damaging. And I think if you look at the evidence, it would show a tremendous majority of the kids who get into this business, it does not fare well for them. Now, Mila Jovovich's kid, she's famous, rich. She probably can help her kid negotiate and avoid some of those pitfalls that a lot of other kids have to go through. But I think even the best case scenario, who was a bigger kid star than Michael Jackson?
No one.
Yeah.
You know, who were bigger stars at the time than the Feldmans or Coreys? You know, Feldman and Haim.
And they're doing well.
There are certainly some high-profile disasters from kid stars. There's absolutely no question about that. But then there's also a lot of, you know, Jodie Foster and Ron Howard's, too.
There aren't a lot of those. That's what I'm saying.
There aren't a few.
The reason those people stand out is because they're extremely rare. And they had parents who were exceedingly grounded and normal. And most cases that just isn't true.
But I think about Ryan Gosling, and I think about Natalie Portman, and I think about Justin Timberlake, and I think about so many of those kids who ended up being fine.
Right, okay.
But you
Ryan don't... Gosling was on the Mickey Mouse Club, okay? That's how he got started. He was on there with Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. There were 15 kids in that cast. Mm. What are the odds then? Just on that one show alone.
Well, I'm
what
not
are those other kids doing? How did they fare? What's their mental state like?
Now, you don't know about the
you don't know about the losers.
Or millions.
We also don't know if the other 12 enjoyed their experience and then went on and did something else with their lives, and they're happy with it, too. I guess maybe there's just not enough evidence on it to convince me either way.
I'm just hard-pressed to understand your very pro-child performer stance.
Because we need kids in movies, that's why. What are we going to do? We need kids in movies. You can't just blanket say no more kids can act. If you got to be 10 to be on film.
He also, he doesn't have kids and stuff. So let's
just say it. We need some kids for some of these movies.
Maybe Beam wanted to be a young star when he was a kid, and he felt like his dreams were crushed because his parents wouldn't let him go on Kids Incorporated or Zoom or wherever he wanted to go on.
You need some young actors to drown the dogs in that Dog's Purpose movie. There's some roles that only kids can do.
I'm just, having spent the better part of my adult life in this industry and knowing how very painful it can be for grown-ups, for adult people, how the ups and downs and the successes up against horrific failures and sense of rejection and financial woes and things that you have to cope with, it's brutal. And it's just, I think if you can steer a kid away from that life into anything else that would make them happy, then it's sort of your obligation to do so.
If you can't
steer them away, if they're hell bent and they wouldn't be happy doing anything else with their lives, then they'll supersede whatever naysaying you may give them, and they will go on to pursue whatever they want to anyway. So
that's fair enough. And by the way, just as a PS, and we got to move on. I do share your concerns about Paris Jackson being the right mental state to go into that business.
All right, fair enough.
I was on TV as a kid.
Were you? What happened? What just happened?
I was on TV as a kid.
Really?
I mean, I got thrown off, but I was on for a little bit. And then,
what do you mean thrown off?
Well, I mean, I may have broken one of the props, but I'm saying...
What the hell are you talking about?
I was in Phoenix. It was a TV show. I was on TV.
What was the show called?
I don't remember the name of the show. I'll do some research. I don't remember the name of the show, but I do remember getting thrown off for breaking one of the props.
What was the show about?
Were you in the audience watching?
No,
like,
I was one of the little kids on the
show. Acting?
You were a child performer?
Yes. I was a child prodigy, some would say.
What?
No one would say that.
You guys and finding these
my
things
My head is
out.
Literally exploding.
What the hell? Was it a sitcom or like a game show?
No. I'll find out.
Being with Bobby Brown's funeral, and you were a TV star when you were a child.
TV prodigy, a lot would say.
No one would say that, first of all. How do you not know exactly what show you were on when you were a kid?
It was an hour-long show, and I got kicked off about 15 minutes into it. So,
was it a live show? Was it a talent show?
It was a live show. I don't
like
remember.
A weekday afternoon, like talk show kind of.
Yeah, Bean. He had his own child's talk
show.
No,
I'm not saying he was the host. I'm saying, was he a cast member on some sort of weekly, daily
honestly,
show?
Honestly, I don't remember. All I remember was it was a TV show, and my mom was very disappointed because I got kicked off.
Can you call your mom today and get some details?
Yeah, I'll try to find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You try to find it. You will find out.
Yeah, well.
Let's call her next. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Nothing else as important as that.
I'll tell you what I'm not doing is talking to my mom.
Oh, we're totally talking to her.
Not happening.
We're totes talking. Totes talking to Kev's mom.
I was a TV star.
I was a TV star as a kid.
And I'm well adjusted.
See what happens?
Right?
This is what happens, kids. When you put your kids on television, then this happens.
Then you look at me and you go, wow, that guy's really got it going on.
Do you remember what prop you broke?
No, I don't remember proper breaks. I just know I was a big TV star in Phoenix. Good night. Strawberry ice cream.
I had one line.
Excuse me.
I wish. All right, we're well over time now.
Back to you.
I apologize.
But Kevin is just dropping bombshells lately.
These are the breaks, folks. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Michael Lemke from Long Beach. Just got tickets to see Green Day when they play the Rose Bowl September 16th and qualifies to see them in Sydney, Australia. Your chance to win comes up the very next time we play any Green Day song. Be caller 20. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:11.
2012 LA Kings. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Sorry, what year is it?
2012 LA Kings.
That was 2012?
That was their Black song. Parade.
Yeah. Oh, I
Thank
see.
Thank you.
Oh, Stanley Cup champion.
Still, yep. It's 2017 now.
Now,
right?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to check.
That song sure. reminds me of the good days.
Great memory.
Right?
Great memory,
what a great
Kevin.
Memory that is,
time
huh?
Warp, right? Some sort of time machine. I'd
good
like
times.
To live in the present.
Good times.
A lot of fun for all of us when you bring it up every time we play the song.
Don't
too,
care. That's the thing.
I support you.
Thank you.
Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
How often a day, a week, a life do you think Kevin utters the words, I don't care? It seems to be his sort of default response to almost everything.
Yeah.
And okay. How do you feel about that, Kevin?
And you don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It is Guy's Night Out. K-Rock's
right?
Guy's Night Out at the
Yay!
Bicycle Hotel and Casino. That's this Friday night. You get a rack of chips worth $200. And you get to play with Beer Mug, right?
Right.
That's the draw. That's the draw right there.
Although Beer Mug cleaned up last time.
Well, sure.
What
yeah.
happened?
Because he's a freaking savant. He's a genius. That's why. That's right. I know how to play poker. K-Rock's Guy's Night Out's happening at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You, Beer Mug, at the same table, battling it out, mano a mano.
Well, I mean,
some other monos around.
There's some other people.
There's a whole bunch of monos at the table, but it's mano a mano versus several other monos.
Let's party like it's Friday night! Woo!
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Let's party.
I'd rather take my own
like
life.
Like it's Friday night, he said on Friday
spend
night.
30 seconds in his presence. So if you'd like to enjoy that, why don't you call us now? 1-800-520-1067. One lucky winner. Caller number 21. We'll have a spot at Beer Mug's table to play poker at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday night at K-Rock's Guy's Night Out.
Party like it's Friday night! Woo!
Right.
You got to be 21 years of age or older to win this prize. Keep that in mind. And if you don't get through, don't despair, because you can go to thebike.com, thebike.com, and you can reserve your spot to play poker with the guys.
It's a good night.
You don't need us. You don't need us with your little phone call. Unless you want to play with Beer Mug, and then you do. It's magical. I never thought I'd say this. Ever. Really. It's beyond anything that was ever in my comprehension before. But boy, what I wouldn't give to have Arnold Schwarzenegger as our president right now. He was interviewed this week talking about Trump's refugee ban. And, of course, there's, you know, a connection between the two. Arnold, of course, is now hosting Celebrity Apprentice, which Trump used to host. Arnold, of course, was the governor of California. Trump, now the president. So I can see it's an appropriate question to ask the former governor. He said, regarding Trump's refugee ban, it makes us look stupid.
Wow.
Yeah.
When Arnold's saying that.
Right? He thinks that it was ill-prepared to kind of drop this directive out there and watch everyone scramble trying to figure out, first of all, what exactly it all meant and then trying to implement it. He said, you go in there and you have a new team and mistakes are made. I hope this is a wake-up call for them. So Trump is hoping, Arnold's hoping rather that they get their S together and see what they can do.
Well, most of the government agencies that were affected by it were not involved in the discussion to make the executive.
No.
It kind of dropped on them as a surprise a little bit.
Surprise laws rarely turn out well.
And then you're working at the airport and you're like, all right, what am I supposed to do with these people getting off the plane now? You know,
so. I think the real problem is that it was vetted badly. If they would run this by the Justice Department and the Homeland Security and had the lawyers really study it and focus on it and give it some time to do it the right way, it would have been better.
Yes, exactly. Arnold Schwarzenegger knows that.
But, Ralph, you can just fire whoever tells you it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, that is his go-to line.
That's how it works.
How he made his money, baby. You don't break it if it ain't fixed. What? I don't know. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Marcus Mumford is 30 years old today.
All right.
Is he the one that's married to the lovely Carrie Mulligan?
I believe he is. So happy birthday, Marcus Mumford.
You sing in a band with your sons. Even though they're not your children, you still call them your sons. And we are all confused.
Justice Timberlake's 36. Justice Timberlake?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's going to be announced tonight.
That'd be pretty cool.
Maybe Trump will announce him to be our new Supreme Court.
I mean, that'd be
Court
the
judge.
Best. That'd be
awesome.
That'd be the best. He'd be bringing sexy back to the Supreme Court.
That's right.
That's a lot to bring back to Justice Court.
Justice Timberlake? Are you kidding me? What about Ruth? What about Ruth?
Oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
RBG.
She
RBG.
Is a hot piece of
I would destroy her.
She's a tiger in the sack.
I'd give
too,
her
man.
The gavel. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yes, I
right,
do.
Right there in the jury box.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You
please rise. Please rise for Sheepy Sam.
You add Timberlake to the court, it yeah. brings the average age of the Supreme Court justices down to just below 80.
I know. Bobby Moynihan from SNL. He is a good dude and a funny man. I like Bobby a lot. He's 40 years old today. Kerry Washington's also 40. Portia de Rossi's 44. Minnie Driver. Mindy. That's what we call her around the house.
Mindy.
Mindy. Minnie Driver. Mindy. Mindy. She's 47. Johnny Lydon from the Sex Pistols. He's 61. Harry Wayne Casey, who is better known by his nom de song, KC and the Sunshine Band.
I want to put on my boogie shoes.
And boogie with you. Yeah, let's boogie. Come on, let's boogie, everybody.
My boogie shoes. And boogie with you.
Yeah, you do.
Uh-huh. Justin Timberlake was a Supreme Court justice. They would start every morning with that song.
That's right. That's, a little that's,
dance
what, they, that's what they come out to out of the chambers when they were approaching
awesome.
The bench. And they'd all have platforms on, like 8-inch platforms for no apparent reason. It all looked like the Funkadelic Parliament. Parliament Funkadelic.
Whichever way.
Whatever you have.
I want to put on my boogie shoes.
I say goodbye Friday night. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at Hollywood Babylon once again at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
10 p.m. Improv. Me, Kevin Smith,
no.
you. It's a pretty good time. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take your route to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Actor and now activist Cal Penn will be on the program. Brandon Marshall. Current New York Jet on the program tomorrow talking about the Super Bowl, Green Day tickets, and of course it's Wednesday, and that means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices tomorrow morning on an all-new show.